deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Welcome everyone, it's episode 51. It's the first one after the big milestone. It feels like, you know, the pressure's off and we can even be more slap happy and irrelevant than what we usually are. So there are two people I love being slap happy and irrelevant with. Christy, how are you?
I'm good, although I feel like there's a curse on this podcast. When you asked me to come and be on the podcast, it was awesome and everything, and I had a house with a mortgage, and now suddenly the house is sold and I'm packing. So once again, you've got a co-host that's surrounded by boxes. What are you, like, is it the podcast?
There is,
like,
definitely a curse, just ask me.
Yeah.
Because Ed's had to pack up and move too, and the original Mr. Boxes, Simon, how are you?
I'm good and fairly box-free, thank you.
At the moment. So, but you're right, there's a box trend there. We'll have to look into that one, but it is definitely cursed. So we've got shit all to talk about this week, but just before the show, we managed to cobble together some things that should pull us through 30 or 40 minutes. So let's get straight into it with Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
Star Wars The Old Republic. It's been a very quiet fortnight, although just a matter of a few hours ago, I realised that they've announced that this Tuesday's maintenance will actually be the go-live for Game Update 1.7, Return of the Gree. So that's a little bit exciting. But in the previous fortnight, there's really bugger all to report on. So we'll talk about 1.7. We'll start with you, Simon. Have you had a look through what's coming up with 1.7? Is there anything that gets your juices flowing or otherwise?
No. Not really, no. Well, I mean, I'm kind of interested just to see what sort of changes they do make to Ilum, whether it's just going to be a zonking great spaceship hovering above part of it, or whether there's going to be any actual changes or adjustments to the map. But otherwise, I suppose I'm being a bit cynical in thinking that it's a way of applying a fresh coat of paint, or maybe just moving the furniture around a little. Just to try and attract people back to Ilum.
Well, they need anything they can to get the attract back. I mean, just for those that are unaware what the touted changes are, there's a new event called Relics of the Gree, which runs February 12th to 26th. So that's obviously starting Tuesday. Explore Ilum's contested area in the Western Ice Shelf to uncover the mysterious purpose of the Gree. Secant, an enormous ancient Gree starship. So as you said, it might be just floating above, like that big thing above Naxxramas in WoW. Get ready to face a powerful opponent that awaits you at the centre of this ancient vessel. Earn exclusive Gree technology, including highly advanced weapon and armour. So it might be some gear to pick up. Look for opportunities to join this recurring event throughout the rest of the year. See, recurring events just leave me cold, no matter what the MMO is. More details to come. And then there's also introduction of a new galactic reputation system. So now, folks, you can grind reputation and get exciting titles like Outsider, Newcomer, Friend, Hero, Champion and Legend. See, they're really looking at Australians, aren't they? For Australian players, you'll be officially called a legend in-game. Christy?
I'm kind of hoping there'll be one above it, like, and it'll be total legend, you know, just because, you know, you can't just be a legend. You're always a total legend.
Yeah, see, that's that. Now, by the way, if you, if you're listening to this, which I highly doubt, you can have that suggestion for free, assuming Christy's okay with that.
What about Warnie being the top one?
Yeah, Warnie above that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're onto something. Earn reputation points by completing missions for allies such as the Green, the Voss, or for military divisions within the Republican Empire, and it's the reputation's tied to your character's legacy. So enjoy reputation points and ranks across all characters in your legacy. Now, that's one thing I'll give them credit for in that, sorry to hark back to WoW again, but reputation doesn't work across characters. So I like that.
Most of it does now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we've changed that with pandas. I mean, there is still some that are character only, but or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure that's not. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, that's right. Sorry, they give you a discount.
Yeah. You earn. That's right. Your second character does. You grind rep easier.
Yeah. I always hate these things because they sucker me in so badly.
Yeah,
I'm going to spend so much time grinding things.
Yeah, you're a completionist. But even and so am I, but not enough to grind rep in a second MMO. Sorry, BioWare, but I'm not doing it. And I think I'm pretty safe in saying you won't be either, Simon.
Safe to say, yeah.
I'll be the little grinder every fortnight in the podcast. There'll be like a little grinding update.
Yeah, I'd rather get another few characters to level 50 than grind rep, but
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I decided to start over again, so I'm only level 10. Yay.
Oh, you got a way to go then, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep doing it.
So the server downtime, as I said, is this Tuesday, which for those of you that actually download the podcast as soon as it's released, in East Coast Australian time, it's 8:30 PM Tuesday night till 2 AM the following morning, and you can work the rest out if you're from WA or New Zealand, but it is up on the website, all the information. So there you go, game update 1.7, and there was nothing of real note to talk about in Star Wars The Old Republic, so I thought we'd take a sidestep into the biggest Star Wars related news of the last week, which was wasn't really a release of information, was more an admission from initially Disney's CEO and then someone else in the week confirmed some details that there are going to be not only three more Star Wars movies as far as episodes 7, 8 and 9 from the big, you know, trilogies, there's also going to be a number of spin-off movies. So I thought we'd talk a bit about that. Christy, what have you heard? What are the rumours? Are you excited?
I haven't heard anything, but I'm always excited.
Well,
unless
they
make a Jar Jar Blinks spin-off, that would be awful.
Oh.
See, someone has to ruin it.
Disney kids, I could understand they might do it. Oh, God, anyway. I can't even
but
entertain
I just,
that.
I got a Millennium Falcon Lego, so I like anything to do with Han Solo coming back into the picture, and then it'll be like, yay, I spent that $200 wisely.
Well, one of the strongest rumours around is that one of the spin-off movies will be a Han Solo one, which wouldn't surprise me in the least, and the other one I'd heard bandied around was a Yoda movie.
It'd be kind of cool if they got Harrison Ford in.
To do it, yeah, or it might be a young Han Solo. Or, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Simon, are you excited?
I am more for the potential than the probable reality. I would quite like to see... let's be honest, Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And preferably something that completely retcons the whole nonsense about Jango Fett and him being a clone, blah, 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 and go back to the proper story of the Mandalorians. But anyway, that's not going to happen. But that's what I'd like. But what I would really like to see is maybe a spin-off movie that covers some of the ground of Crimson Empire and Crimson Empire 2 and The Remnant. I think that would be really, really good to see some of the spin-offs cover that, some of the darker stuff rather than just, you know, fluffy heroes flying around in their shiny spaceships being annoying.
Yeah.
I like shiny spaceships.
Yeah, I know. I'm here to counterbalance you, sweetheart. Don't worry.
That's right.
Shiny.
I mean, the other thing I was thinking with the Han Solo movies, it'd be good if they covered the period when that's constantly referred to in Empire Strikes Back, where him and Lando obviously had a much closer relationship and got up to mischief together. So I'd like to see something like that.
Oh, you want to see a bit of same gender romance?
Oh, a bit like you know, Lethal Weapon, Star Wars, just the buddy movie. Oh,
a bit of bro love.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the other one I mentioned in a post I did on the website was because growing up, Splinter of the Mind's Eye was such a pivotal book for me. I'd love something along those lines, but that'll never happen either.
Yeah, well, that's right up there with the original Boba Fett story being brought in. That sort of unless it's parallel universe and the Watcher sort of makes a jump from universes, then I don't see that happening.
Oh, nice Marvel reference there. So yeah, Star Wars movies, and all I know is that for the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to be bombarded with hype around them, and hopefully the hype doesn't kill, as you're saying, the actuality of them, and that they're actually okay.
No, I don't think it will. I mean, yeah. The Phantom Menace didn't completely kill the hype for Attack of the Clones, so...
No. And also, I mean, there's the obvious thing about Star Wars The Old Republic that, you know, a movie set in those times, and then, you know, there's a lot to be said for that, and particularly if they wanted the game boost, if you had a movie that linked directly into the storyline that we're playing, well, I know that wouldn't be a pivotal thing for Disney to support Electronic Arts, but you know,
yeah, but it's still supporting the IP, yeah. And I don't.
Well, I was gonna say, if you do one for one, you know, it benefits the other. So
yeah, well, that's sort of we're gonna discuss, or I'm gonna briefly chat about something towards the end of the podcast that there's a bit of that kind of thinking involved. But I don't see why not. There's no reason why any of the films have to be occurring in concurrent timeline. No. They could be jumping all over the show.
Agree. And one person made, I think it was on Reddit or forum, the official forum somewhere anyway, made the really good point that surely they could create movie length versions as good as the Deceived trailer. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm not paying to see a 100% CGI movie like that.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. That would be. Whoops, almost said a bad word.
And a hell of a lot cheaper. I mean, it wouldn't cost that much either.
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, granted, it's a several levels above, but you look at the way they're churning out Star Wars The Clone Wars, the TV series, and yeah. I'm well hooked on that. That's the best thing to have come out of the new trilogy, quite frankly. It's actually... There's some good acting and there's some good storytelling and some fantastic design in there.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't see why the hell they couldn't.
So that's an exciting, yeah. I'd love Deceived to be the opening of a movie, but anyway, or the ending of a movie, whichever way it works. That's it. I've exhausted everything Star Wars. So let's jump on to some totally non-Star Wars content with the usual, starting off with Secret World. Fairly quiet fortnight in the Secret World as well. Again, with, as we talked about last episode, with the amount of content that was released in the last half or the last quarter of 2012 and the alternate reality game and so on, that I can understand they're having a break. So the only thing I wanted to talk about is there were some changes to downloadable content pricing that they've announced. So it really affects mostly if you're a member, so I don't actually know all the tiers. I understand what a Grandmaster is, but a member is just a subscriber, isn't it?
I don't know. Someone who bought you had to buy the pack and then you could upgrade to the Grandmaster, and that was the last time.
So essentially what they're saying is the current price of the latest downloadable content, The Vanishing of Tyler Freeborn, has been adjusted to 750 points for non-members, so that's the free-to-players, 675 for members after a 10% member discount, and will remain at 600 after a 20% grandmaster discount for grandmasters. This pricing change was meant to further reward members and grandmasters because the 10% member and 20% grandmaster discounts for shop purchases are now applied to downloadable content. And that's essentially what the whole announcement is, that they're going to apply the same discounts you get for anything to downloadable content. And also, for all of us, there's an option now to set up downloadable content auto-buy on the Secret World site under your account, which means that you can log in and not have to muck around with going to the shop and buying the content. You can jump straight into it, which is good. But it is set to off by default, so you need to go in and forcibly say, yeah, I want this. And also, members and grandmasters will get access to the content 48 hours before non-members, and that'll be live as of issue 6, which there's no date for that as yet. Comments on that, Simon?
I'm pretty happy with it, actually. I think it just continues to demonstrate the it feels like respect. The fact that they do value the subscribers, they don't treat us like idiots, they don't take us for granted. It when they do these things, it actually sort of feels collaborative. I don't know about you guys. Do you find that?
Yeah, no, I agree, Chrissy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really does seem like they're listening, because I know when they first talked about it, people were talking about why can't we do an auto-buy since the points do expire. So people that jump in and out can always make sure they have all the content, which, you know, for someone like me is awesome. I'm like, kudos.
And funny, it's just good timing. I think I might have Joel Bylos on the line here. Just hold on, I'll bring him in.
Oh, no, don't do that again.
I couldn't.
They
resist,
are
sorry.
Bringing in a veteran reward system as well for people who subscribe. I don't know if that includes, I'm assuming it's going to include grandmasters. Yeah, it's right at the end of the blog. Oh. So as players spend time with the Secret World, they gain veteran points, which can be spent at in-game store to purchase both cosmetic and convenience items. Includes outfits, pets, titles, mission cooldown removals, portable bank, trade post, mail, automatic item repair consumables, portable combat dummy. Ooh.
The automatic
with
repairs.
Feedback.
Yeah, I love the automatic repairs. I pay quite a bit for that.
Yeah, so they don't really, that's pretty much all they mention of it. But yeah, that looks like it might be cool.
Have you been playing much Secret World, Christy?
No.
I know Simon's been in Star Wars land.
Up in boxes in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, the boxes take a lot of time.
They do.
4 weeks to settlement date, so it's a lot to pack up.
Absolutely. So, as the only person that's played Secret World the last fortnight, I don't have a lot to report anyway. I'm still on the Savage Coast. But today I had a solid session of a couple of hours and finally worked out why I suck badly. So I still suck, but I now don't suck badly in that, A, I knew I didn't have enough good gear and I finally logged into the item store and got some better flasks and stuff like that. Obviously, you can't buy, well, as far as I know, you can't buy actual good gear on the item store. Am I wrong there? It's all cosmetic, isn't it?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's cosmetic and consumables.
Yeah, you're allowed to laugh. The main reason I realised I suck was twofold. It was only one reason, and that's that I wasn't using the dodge well enough. And now that I've got a decent mouse, I'm actually dodging a lot of, I understand when the little white lines appear that you've got to get out of the way. And I was just using my direction keys to get out of the way and succeeding about half the time.
Don't stand in the fire, David.
Yeah, no, I understand that bit, but it was just the dodge. And you click twice and you get to... the forward arrow twice and you get to dodge. So that's actually helped, although I'm still dying quite badly. I'm finding it more and more frustrating.
You can go backwards and side to side as well, you know.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. I think it's because I'm such a solo-oriented player that some of these quest lines, so for example, I'm up to, it's the League of Monster Slayers. I'm up to the final step where you've got to kill, I think it's called the Filthy One. And I can't manage to do it with my current gear. You go to the cheat videos or the walkthrough videos, and as soon as I load one up, you see that there's two people doing it together.
Yeah.
You go, damn this game, it's forcing me to be social.
Yeah, I'm finding that with the HK51 quest. I don't have good enough gear to solo it. So I'm come to the realization that I'm going to have to be social in an MMO.
Yeah, I know. It kills me. But anyway, at least using the dodge helps. So that's good. And also there are achievement point boosts on the store, which I'm going to look into more and maybe use a few of those, which helps. So that's the secret world. So yeah, a bit of a lull there, but I know that won't be for that long, if I was going to guess. So let's talk more as I pretend that I'm on top of it and go to the running sheet. Let's talk about anything else, really, because that's where we're up to. So Marvel Heroes. Simon and I are in the beta that we can't talk about, so that's fine.
So far, so good.
Everyone that you can't talk about it?
Yeah. I haven't actually been to Gazillion's site to check out any latest announcements, but to my knowledge, there's nothing exciting being announced. They're just, they're doing beta. They're, regularly releasing patches, as you'd expect with a beta, and I'll say what I said last time. It's a fun game. That's more than you said last episode, Simon, about it. That was good. You said a yep at least.
I just feel lawyers breathing down my neck.
I spent all day watching Iron Man and Iron Man 2 and Avengers, so I'm something up with the Marvel.
Now there's a good point for those, and I know I posted it. No, actually I didn't on the site. I posted it on another site.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah, the Iron Man 3 trailer from the Super Bowl and then the extended version. So if you haven't seen that, I'll try and remember to put a link in the show notes. It's gold.
It's awesome. I replayed it multiple times.
Simon, have you seen it?
No, I'm just going to go and see the movie because I'm sick of trailers showing me all the best bits.
Yeah, this one, the non-extended version trailer it's very, very short and it only shows essentially one scene. But the extended version trailer is worth seeing. Is it Robert Downey Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr., yes. Yes.
Right, just watching Robert Downey Jr. stare at you for whatever it is, 20 seconds and doing what he does, it's gold. So do watch it, Simon. It won't be in the movie, the first 20 or 30 seconds of the
trailer. Okay, all right. So, you've convinced me.
Yes, go Iron Man 3. It's looking good.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. And apparently the Avengers 2 is somewhere, I don't know, they're talking about it or something.
Okay. It hasn't started shooting or anything, has it?
No. I think I read an article from Joss about that. Yeah, they've signed up for an Avengers 2. Or I could be just talking crap. I don't know.
I can't imagine.
It could have been a dream, you know. I dream about Joss a lot and Robbie Downey Jr.
See, I watched the first I watched Firefly for the first time since last episode. I watched episode one, I think it was. I was a bit underwhelmed.
Oh, no, you will become a brown coat, don't you worry.
All right, so I need
the first one's like the pilot, it's
okay.
Brilliant,
right.
But
I'll give
yeah.
it some more time. I mean, I didn't dislike really awesome it. Ones. It was just like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'll give it more time.
Did you watch Serenity? Have you seen Serenity?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, trust me, there's a good, solid, substantial arc.
All right, cool. I will do it. And last Marvel-related thing, and I promise this will be the last time, or nearly the last time I talk about comics on this podcast. So we had the wonderful Sean from New Zealand writing comics for the Oceanic Gamer, reviewing comics, reviewing web comics and so on. We've decided to move that out to a separate site called the Comics Herald, which is actually doing surprisingly well in its infancy of 10 days. So if you are into comics and stuff, just if you go to comicsherald.com, we've now got some near daily coverage between Sean and I, and we're putting a call out for other writers soon. So if you're into comics and like reading comics, writing about them, then please let us know. Plug over. Heart of the Swarm. So StarCraft 2's expansion's coming out 12th or 13th of March. It's around then anyway. It's only a few weeks off. And there's a few things going on with that. So they've released a few trailers and they're essentially releasing them at least every week at the moment. And there's also a local launch event. So they're planned launch events in a number of territories, one of which is Australia, and Melbourne's got the gig this time. So if you're living in Melbourne, and I know two of the three co-hosts of this podcast are, if you like StarCraft 2, actually, I just realised, no, sorry, one of the three co-hosts of this, I've just attributed, yeah, Christy, you living in the wrong city.
Yeah, actually, I was just thinking, you know what, when I sell this house, I might just, instead of buying Perth, I might just buy in Melbourne. That way. There's PAX and, you know, because yeah, no one
knows. Oh, PAX.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah.
PAX, yeah, definitely.
For Melbourne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Date?
Oh, July, have to double August? Check that.
But yeah, it, as far as I know, it has been, and so is the venue.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they're selling tickets. Melbourne, bloody. July 19th to 21.
July 9th. See, I just want to stop the podcast now and go on, because I don't want to miss going to see that. It's got to be better than Oz Comic Con.
We'll talk about it after the podcast anyway, because I have a plan.
All right.
Yep.
A cunning plan.
I'm tapping my nose even though you can't see it.
Live
and now I've got the little pinky up to the lip, you know.
I'm already thinking live podcast. Simon and I had a very successful live cross from Comic Con.
Yeah.
It depends on how you interpret successful. So if you're in Melbourne, Federation Square, March the 11th, 8 p.m. to midnight, there the Blizzard will be there in force. They're going to have live matches featuring top pro gamers. They're going to have some of the StarCraft II dev team there for a Q&A, cosplay competition as you'd expect. I'd love someone to go just to take pictures of the cosplay, because I'd love to see a good Zerg or something like that.
I want to see a Kerrigan.
Yeah, I imagine there'll be a few Kerrigans.
Yeah, like a poster with the wings. Yes.
So that's happening if you're living locally in Melbourne. And as I said, there are a number of trailers, and I'll link to that from the show notes. The most interesting thing is that Blizzard are taking StarCraft 2 very much down. I mean, it obviously is an MMO. It's an MMO, but they're adopting a lot of Warcraft features as far as they're introducing leveling into StarCraft 2, which fascinates me, and it'll be interesting how that goes down. It appeals to someone like me that, like most games, I suck because I'm more casual. So the idea of being able to leveling and feel like I'm achieving something rather than just getting my ass handed to me in matches is a good thing. But I think there are others that don't like it much.
I'm a Protoss girl, so I'm looking forward to the last one.
Simon, you played StarCraft 2? Sorry, I didn't ask before.
I played StarCraft a bit myself, but it's not. I suppose the closest I've come to it is Halo Wars. Don't shoot me. I know it's a pay limitation of, but yeah, moving units around and so forth and strategizing. I mean, I'm incredibly suckful at chess, so I'm not very good at thinking moves ahead.
Yeah.
I'm more sort of a jump in with a lightsaber blazing and just trying to chop everyone's heads off with as little thinking about it beforehand as possible, which is why I play a warrior, basically.
Oh, that's good.
I've tried doing the whole, you know, rogues stealthing thing, and in the end I just still end up jumping in and trying to chop at everything.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, I'm that bad at StarCraft too. Like, I had a long break from it. And just in the last month, in the lead up to Heart of the Swarm, thought I'll get back in, finish the campaign. I hadn't even finished the campaign mode, and I'm close to doing that now. And I've done some cooperative games versus AI, and I've done some quick matches. And every quick match I've done, which has been 3v3, every single one without fail, I've had the other two going, "Oh my god, you suck!" So, like, you know, OMFG, you suck. What WTF are you doing, you idiot? And so on. So I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah, who the hell needs that in their life, really?
Yeah, that's right. So I tend to do custom games against AI now so I don't have to interact. There's a pattern here, isn't there?
Yeah, slightly.
I suck and I don't like interacting. So,
But the good news is that the StarCraft 2 is definitely being pushed towards the whole esports arena, which from what I've been hearing over the last week is really where that's the new golden goose.
Yeah.
it's no longer let's beat WoW. It's let's do this eSport thing.
And it's ideally set up for that, for sure.
Yeah, and even SOE have jumped into that. John Smedley has been enthusing about eSports as well. So, yeah, I think that's the next big thing, especially with the big leagues being set up and getting so many viewers now. I think they're just seeing that and going ka-ching.
Oh, and I'd love to watch that. I don't know. I assume you can't watch it likely on TV, but obviously there are web streams and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think esports is just one of those things where we're just beginning to see it being taken seriously because the critical number of people watching it is getting there. And I would so love to see Hutball actually get sorted out to that.
Yeah.
I think Hutball's got the potential. They just have to pull their finger out and do something with it, like add a spectator mode, perhaps. That'd be a start.
Yeah. And have any MMOs pulled that off well? To my knowledge, still yet, there's not.
Not yet, no.
No.
But give it time.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's been screams in WoW for years about having a spectator mode for Arena and, yeah.
Oh, they just need to have a spectator mode for pet battles.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to see, esports with pet battles.
Yeah, see, I'm over that at the moment, but I'm sure I'll get back into that. Defiance. That was the last thing I had. Tell us about Defiance, Simon, your latest passion.
It's a brand of flour. It's really good for baking. Cookies.
Baking flours? Oh, in cookies.
Yeah. I used some flour earlier today, actually.
Okay, all right, sorry. Yes, Defiance. They've just had their second beta this last weekend. Obviously, I'm covered by an NDA, but what I can say is, because this kind of leads in from what we were talking about before, is that it's a game being developed, an MMO being developed by Trion in association with the TV series being made by Sci-Fi.
Okay.
That, you know, the American Science Sci-Fi Channel, who actually don't seem to do much in the way of sci-fi anymore. Thanks for cancelling Alphas, by the way, you pricks. But anyway, moving on. The TV series is, I can never remember how to pronounce his name, Rokne O'Bannon. Does that name ring a bell with any of you?
No.
No?
I like the name, though. It's a cool name.
Well, he's a producer, and he's done things like Alien Nation, Sequest DSV, for those of you who remember that far back. A little show which I love even more, Farscape.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I did love that one.
Oh, yeah. Underappreciated, but with some great local talent. But anyway, basically, so the TV series and the MMO are kind of joined at the hip. I don't know. It could be one of those things where they're both a great success, or the TV series gets cancelled after halfway through the first season because it's on Sci-Fi. It's got a website. I'm not going to bore you with it now. The game, from what I've seen, looks pretty darn good. I don't think that breaches the NDA.
So is it? It's a breach NDA. Saying, is it like a space-based thing, or I know obviously sci-fi, but is it?
It's sci-fi based, and this is all on Wikipedia, so it's
public domain.
Basically, it's a fleet of alien spaceships end up they come to Earth, but they're not invaders. Their own planet's basically screwed, and they spend years and years trying to negotiate with Earth governments, various Earth governments, to get a little spot of land to settle. None of the governments, as normally is the case, like with citing rubbish dumps, it's a nice idea, but not in our backyard.
Yeah.
So basically, after I think, what is it, like 5 or 8, it might even be 10 years, I can't quite remember the time frame, of pointless negotiations, the aliens try and just sort of force the issue a bit, which ends up leading to a full retaliatory strike by Earth governments. And one of the what are they called now? The Votan, Votans? Votan.
Vogons.
Close. one of their ships ends up getting shot down, and it's accidentally releases this sort of a terraforming technology, which ends up randomly transforming parts of the planet and turning it into environments which are hazardous to both the Votans and humans. So basically the whole world goes to crap, and then at some point everyone realizes that, yeah, we've got to kind of pull together and make this into make this work, or we're all going to die.
Okay.
So that's the premise for the show. It's in a lot of ways, it's sort of standard science fiction fare, but it's different in that it's not an alien invasion per se. The aggressors are, in some part, us.
Yeah. I like it. It'd be interesting. I'm just trying to work out where the game, I suppose. Yeah, the MMO mechanics are pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So, okay. Defiance. I will put a link to that. I assume the game has a website, yeah?
Yeah, the game and the TV. Well, the game and TV have websites. TV series have websites. And you can sign on for the beta if you're interested in having a bit of a shufti. But it's nice. Time to have a look.
Excellent.
Try on. So, you know, they do good stuff.
Do they stick with it, though? I'm just trying. Anyway.
Makers of Rift.
Yeah, no, I knew that. And I mean, Rift's still going along, sort of.
Oh, no, Rift, I think, is
it's doing well, yeah.
It's doing well, and it's being innovative, and they're I mean, the last update they did was, they added 2 bloody continents. You know, it's better than
Star Wars.
Planet might consist of half a dozen zones.
Yeah. You never know. It still could be good. I'm keeping the faith, sort of.
I think it probably will be good because, from what I've been hearing, it's content. The Rise of the Hutt Cartel is content that's been in the works for a very long time. I mean, Daniel Erickson was one of the lead writers on it. So, this is not stuff that's being produced since.
No.
This is stuff that's been in the works since before launch, basically.
Yeah.
So it should be.
Anything else, Christy? Anything you want to add before we wrap it up? We've actually talked longer than I thought we would.
That's because I rambled.
No, rambling's good.
Oh, I thought it was my blabbling.
Blabbling or
it was a
blabbling.
So nothing from my ear. That's good. I like a punchy ending to a podcast, so that's good. This is punchy in a Anthony Mundy sort of way. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back for episode 52 in around a fortnight. As always, drop us a line via contact@oceanicgamer.com, facebook.com/theoceanicgamer. Same for Twitter, twitter.com/theoceanicgamer. We'd love it if you could like our Facebook page, and be particularly enamored of you if you could review the podcast on iTunes, if that's the way you get it. And then on Twitter as well, we have Simon with RPG Beats RL and Christy on Virtual Drop Bear. I got all that right, didn't I?
Yep.
Nice. Yep. And we'll be back in a fortnight with more punchy podcasts.
And maybe some news.
Maybe some actual gameplay time and some news. Well, one point, yeah, there will be. So we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Simon's been mysterious. He's not going to say bye.
I thought you said bye for everyone.
Oh, yeah, I am now. Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was